Thank you so much this morning. We're grateful. We thank you for the honor of your presence. Thank you for you are here. And we're grateful for that privilege. We ask as we go into your word this morning, you speak to us. Our hearts are open this morning. Our lives are open. Speak. Your servants are listening. Holy Spirit, we recognize your presence. We thank you. You are the teacher. You are our helper. We submit ourselves under your ministry this morning that you will help us. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be encouragement, motivation. Let lives be transformed. And let the name of the Lord be glorified. We are grateful and we thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here again this morning. It's a privilege. I'll bring my wife next year, don't worry. She was here. She's been here a couple of times. Okay, twice. Okay. She'll be here next year. That's a promise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, like I keep saying every time, this is one church that there's a very strong sense of seriousness. Many churches don't have a very strong sense of seriousness. There's a lot of motion, activity, and noise, but no substance. But this is one place where there's substance, and we must not take that for granted. But at the same time, we need to have an understanding of some few things I want to share this morning. Genesis 28, verse 10 to 19. Genesis 28, from verse 10 to 19. There's an account that is very interesting and which we can learn some lessons from this morning. Genesis 28 from verse 10 to 19. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and alighted upon a certain place and tarried there at all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, laid down that place to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. 15. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done all that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob woke up out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning, took up the stone that he had put for his pillow, set for a pillar, and poured out all upon. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul, talking to Timothy, made a profound statement that I will link with this Genesis 28 passage. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. If I want to give a title, I will say, Ladders, Angels, God, and You. Ladders, Angels, God, and You. One of the things we must be careful about, which is our biggest problem as Christians, is ignorance. The devil is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is ignorance. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because of the devil. So we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So any destruction of a child of God is a result of lack of knowledge. Then 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So the devil thrives on ignorance. Once there's ignorance, the devil rules and reigns. And Proverbs 11:9 says, the latter part of it says, through knowledge shall the righteous be delivered. So deliverance comes by knowledge. True knowledge, that's Proverbs 11:9, shall the righteous be delivered, or the just be delivered. And one thing we must not be ignorant of is church. Or put this way, our gathering together. What happens when we come together? Why do we need to come together? What should we expect when we come together? We must not be ignorant of this kind of assembly. Now, church is not a place. Church is people. But I'm looking this morning at the gathering together of believers that we call church. So church is a combination of Christians. That's what the church is. It's people, not a place. But we come to church, which is good. So when we come to church, what do we do? What are we to expect? So we don't just come every week or every month and then we don't have any impact in our lives. So let's go to our text, Genesis 28, verse 17. Jacob said, this is none other than the house of God. So this encounter was an encounter that deals with the house of God. Now the question is, what is the house of God? 1 Timothy 3:15 answers that question. So you can relate this Genesis 28 passage to church. So what is the house of God? Genesis 28:17 says that this is none other than the house of God. Now Paul now explained to us what is the house of God. He says, if I tarry long, that thou... Sorry, I'm a King James person, very old-fashioned person, so you have to bear with me. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself, where? Talk to me. Don't forget, Jacob said, this is none other than the house of God. So what is the house of God? That behave yourself in the house of God, which is what? So where's the house of God? So the church of God is the house of a living God. So that's where we can now relate the incident in Genesis 28 to the church. Okay? So we'll look at Genesis 28 in view of this interpretation that the house of God is the church of the living God. And we are focusing basically on our meeting together as a people. So let's see what happened in Genesis 28 to see what happens in the church, the house of God. Verse 13 of Genesis 28. Now, Bible says there that, that's Genesis 28 now from verse 13, that God, you all know the story now, that Jacob had a dream, there was a ladder set up on the earth that reached the heaven, and God was on top, angels were ascending and descending. Now, the first thing we must understand about church, the house of God, is that the house of God is a place of his manifest presence. The house of God is a place of his what? You have to talk to me. It's a place of what? Now, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's in the clubhouse. He's in everywhere. But his presence is not manifest everywhere. But in his house, his presence is manifest. So when we come to church like this, garden like this, the presence of God is manifest or obvious or evident. But we must understand that to take advantage of his manifest presence. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. So we come together, two or three, God is present. So God is here. God is here. But if there's no consciousness of his presence, then his presence will not have an impact on our lives. We'll come and live like we came. But if you understand that in the house of God, God is there, then we can maximize his presence. Now, when God comes to you, you see, it's difficult to explain God. Only God can explain God. Very difficult. But within the limits of human expression, we will try. So when we say God is here, it's difficult to explain in human language. So when God comes, he comes with all his attributes. He comes with his wisdom, comes with his power, comes with his ability, comes with answers, comes with solutions, comes with healing. He doesn't come and leave his power behind. He doesn't come and leave his wisdom behind. So when God comes to a place, he comes with everything that he has. That's what they call the glory of God. The glory of God is his presence with all his attributes. So when God comes to a place, when he comes to his house, he comes with everything that he has. So when I come to church, to a garden like this, I must understand I'm coming to meet God. And when God comes, he comes with everything that he has. That's why in the church, somebody says, I got healed. Someone says, well, I got an answer. I got a solution. Why? Because they are tapping into different aspects of God's dimension. So that means each time we come to church and I have a problem, I have a need, God who is here can meet every need. So I'm confused. I have two options. Do I take job A or job B? When I come to church to meet God, God will give me the answer. So in church, there is the presence of God. It's not an ordinary place. That's what Jacob said, the Lord was here and I knew it not. Do we know God is here? Or we're like Jacob? The Lord was in this place and I did not know. So number one, when we come together, we have come into the presence of God. And Bible says in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So if I come to church sad and depressed, and I come to his house, I should not leave depressed and sad. When I come to church with a question, I must leave church with the answer. I come to church sick, I must leave healed because God is in the midst of his house. And when he comes with everything that he has. But there must be a consciousness that he's here. So God was at the top of the ladder. So God is here. God is here. So whatever need we have in church, we'll bring to church. If you have that understanding, you know you're coming to a place of solutions and answers. Now, many people don't understand that. It now looks as if church is no longer relevant. Because I come to church, nothing happens. I give my offering, nothing happens. I worship God, nothing happens. I fast, nothing happens. Because we don't have a consciousness that we are coming into his presence. Are you following me this morning? You're not following me? Okay. If you don't answer my question, I can't read your mind. So tell a friend, God is here. He's here. But Wally said, we must understand that by faith. He's here. God is here. That's why the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6 says, whoever will come to God must believe that what? He is faith. So the first we must understand from our text is that God's presence is in his house. That's why it is called his house. He's here. So whatever need we have, God is here to meet those needs. I like that song that was sang, Unlimited God. I think that's one of the songs that said, the more I see God, what was that song again that you sang? When I think I've seen him, what happens? He shows me we can't explain God. The more you know God, the less you know God. I mean, it's a paradox. The more you know God, the less you know him. The more you see God, the less you see God. But he's here. He's here. God is here. In all his power and all his glory, God is here. The second thing we can see from our text is that God, that or rather the church, the house of God, is a place of divine communication. That's verse 13 to 15 of Genesis 28, a place of divine communication. So when I come to a church, to a garden like this, I know that I'm coming into his presence. Now, it's not just for fun, but I must understand that would lead to divine communication. Because when Jacob had that dream, God now began to speak from verse 13 to 15. So church is a place of divine communication. So each time we come to church, God wants to speak to us. Every time. Every time. And let me explain four ways that God speaks to us in church. So you must understand, when I come into church, I'm going to talk to God. He wants to talk to me. Number one, the most obvious one is when we hear the word of God being preached. That's God talking to us. God talking to us. Paul was telling Thessalonians, said, "You did not take our word as a word of men, but as a word of God." So when we preach, that's why this pulpit is a very sacred thing. My biggest problem as a pastor is knowing what to preach. I don't have a problem with settling quarrels. My wife gave me a big blow in my head. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't want to come here and say what God does not want to say. Because the destinies of people is tied to the pulpit. So when we hear the word of God being preached, that is God speaking. That's why sometimes you hear the message, it's like the pastor knows you from day one. It's God. It's like you have a question, the message answers your question. So God talks to us through preaching. So each time we come together, God speaks to us through preaching. That's why preaching time is a time to concentrate and to listen. The second obvious way that God communicates to us in church or when we'll be together is when there's a prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. That's God talking to us. Prophecy is God speaking to us. The third way God speaks to us is through the gifts of the Spirit. When there's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. But let me look at the least, how do I put it? The one that we least give attention to. God speaks to us in church, especially through impressions, perceptions. You come to church and just have an impression. God is talking to you. You come to church, an idea strikes you in church. That is God talking to you. Church is a place of divine communication. So you come to church, you're not even thinking of your job, you're worshiping God, and just occurs you to write a particular software that will handle this. That's God talking to you. You come to church, and you know, you're just in the environment of church, and something just gets impressed upon your heart. That's God talking to you. Church is a place of divine communication. Most times we don't know God talks to us because sometimes we preachers make it difficult. Last night, 2 a.m., God woke me up and said, "Son, I want to talk to you." I said, "Lord, I need more time to sleep." God said, "Okay, I'll give you 15 minutes to sleep." So I slept for 15 more minutes and God woke me up again. I said, "Son, I want to talk to you." I said, "Lord, I want to take a cup of coffee." For God said, "Take your cup of coffee." Then God sat me down. And they are wondering, am I a Christian? That's called intimidation from the pulpit. You get the point? God talks to us by impressions, by perceptions. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So something, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever said, "Something occurred to me"? Put up your hand. We are all sinners. How dare you call God something? It's not something, it's God. Ah, and it occurred to me. Ah! No, that's God. Are you following me? So church is a place of divine communication. So you come to church, some things occur to you. That's why you need to write it down. Because spiritual communication, they're very, very transient. It's easy to forget. So God spoke to Jacob. So when we come to church, God speaks to us. Through the preaching, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but from all of us, impressions, thoughts that come to you. That's God talking to you. Sometimes your answer to your prayer, you already gotten it, but you didn't know it was God. And of course, through counsel. So church is a place where God is. Two, where God communicates to us. That means three things we need to understand about that. We must be sensitive in church. Because God can speak anytime during the announcements. Announcements like, you know, you're watching a football game and there's halftime. What do you do? That's when you leave the place and go and get a cup of coffee or something. You don't listen to the advertisements. But God can speak anytime. So we must be sensitive. Number two, we must be attentive in church. Number three, we must be receptive. So for some of us here this morning, God has spoken to us many times. But like Jacob, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. So when we come together, we're coming into his manifest presence, which means we have access to all that God has, all that God is. Number two, he communicates to us in church. Number three now, church is a place of intense spiritual activity. Bible says there was a ladder set on the earth that reached to the heavens, angels ascending and descending. So when we come to church, the house of God is a place of intense spiritual activity. Now, these things, you must understand them by faith. So, there was a ladder set up on the earth that reached to the heavens. So, it started from the earth and then reached the heavens. Angels ascending. No, okay, ascending. Which one? Which one is ascending now? Ascending and descending. Tell a friend, ascending and descending. So, I can get it right. Ascending, just like vertical and what's the other one? I get it confused sometimes. Horizontal is this, vertical is this. Okay. So there was a ladder set up on the earth that reached the heavens. So that means the church is a place to link the earth with the heavens. Very important. The ladder was set up on the earth. That's verse 12. Okay, thank you. He dreamed a dream, behold, a ladder set up on the earth. So it was set up where? Talk to me. Set up where? The top of it reached where? So it was set up on the earth, reached the heaven. So church is a place that links the earth with heaven. Very important. Now, what is the earth? Natural. What is heaven? Divine. So the church is a place where the natural is linked to the divine. Where the natural is linked to the divine. Earth is tangible. Heaven is intangible. It links the tangible to the intangible. And the Bible says that the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. Which are not seen are what? Eternal. So that means also that the intangible, or let me put it this way, the tangible is created by the intangible. In the beginning, God said, let there be. God in heaven, spirit, intangible, said, let there be, and there was tangible. So that means the intangible controls what? So when I come to church and I have a situation that is physical or natural, then I have access to heaven to change what I'm going through on the earth. So there's a lot, there's a connection between the earth and the heaven. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 18. It says, whatsoever you bind where? Where do you bind it? And then it is bound where? So it starts from the earth. The ladder set up on the earth reach the heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose where? On earth is loosed in heaven. That means when we come to church, if you don't take any initiative, nothing happens. Because it must start from the earth. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The ladder set up on the earth to reach the heaven. That means if you don't do anything in church, nothing happens. We don't praise God on the earth, nothing happens. Don't pray, nothing happens. So it's a place of intense spiritual activity. Now, all these things are happening in the spirit. Now, in management, we're told there are three levels of competence. There's unconscious incompetence. You know what that means? You are incompetent and you don't know it. Well, that's a disaster. But there's also conscious incompetence. You are incompetent, but you know it. You know what I'm talking about? Now, the other way around too, there's unconscious competence. You are competent, but you can't duplicate your competence. And there's conscious competence. The same thing for Christians. We have, most of the time, unconscious spirituality. We are not conscious that God is here. We're not conscious God answers prayers. We're not conscious God talks to us. So we are unconsciously spiritual. We must move to conscious spirituality. So it's a place of intense spiritual activity. Go to verse 17, Genesis 28, 17. Now, Jacob says something there. He says, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. So, church is the gate of heaven. So, you must understand these things consciously so you can begin to maximize and take advantage of church. Very important. Now, notice something there. Now, ladder. Don't forget the message, ladders, angels, God, and you. So the ladder was set up on the earth to reach the heaven. So right now, there are ladders. Can you see the ladders? You can't see the ladders? You don't see any ladder? Can you see your... What network do you guys use in America now? AT&T. Can you see AT&T signals now? Can I see AT&T signals? You can't see them. But are the signals here? Can you see Fox News channel signals here? Or MSNBC? Can you see the signals now? But are the signals here? All you need is a receiver. The same thing. God is here. Angels are here. We cannot see them, but they're here. Your receiver is your spirit. So if you don't tune your spirit right, you will not see the things. So God is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Angels are here. Answers are here. Deliverance is here. Everything you need is here right now. It just takes tuning to this. You must understand, intense spiritual activity happens in church. Of course, that involves angels going up and down. What are angels? Or who are angels? Angels are simply ministering spirits. They're servants. Angels are servants. The Bible says there, they were ascending and descending on the ladder. What were they doing? Doing their assignment. Somebody says, Father, this morning, I just need help. He takes that request to heaven, brings the help, gives it to you. Somebody says, I just need an answer to this question. He takes that request to heaven, brings the answer to you. So the angels are ascending and descending, going on assignment. That's why you must do something in church. Pray, sing, whatever you're asked to do, do it, because angels are activated by words. Okay, Psalm 103 verse 20, quickly. So there's angelic activity in church. So these things are the reality that we need to understand. Psalm 103 verse 20. See what the Bible says there. So we can understand that the things we do have an impact in our lives. Yes. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you is what? Angels who excel in strength. But look at what it says after that. That do his commandments, they hearken unto what? Unto what? They hearken unto what? The voice of whose word? Now, what does that mean? They hearken, or let's put this way, they are activated by the voice of his word. Now, what does that mean? So each time we voice his word, what happens? Not simple. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. So when they hear the voice of his word, they are activated. They hearken unto the voice of his word. So the way to release angels, as it were, is to let them hear God's word. That's why there's Bible reading, Psalm 96. What did that do? Angels were sent on assignment. The songs we sing, they're God's word put into songs. Angels are released. So there's intense spiritual activity in church. But we must be conscious of this to maximize all these things that happen when we come to church. Are you following me? So let's do a recap. What happens in church? Number one, the place of his word. Manifest presence. Number two, this is divine communication. Number three, intense spiritual activity. Angels ascending. Number four now. Okay, let's put that. Number five, whatever number you are, church is a place of communion with God. Communion with God. God was at the top of a ladder, communicating with Jacob. Communion. Communion with God. Okay. So when we are ignorant of these facts, we are denied the benefits of church. That's what's happening today. People come to church a lot and it doesn't impact their lives. So church now looks irrelevant. So those who come to church, their life then is no better than those who don't come. So why do I need to bother myself coming? Because of lack of understanding of these things. But let's look at our responsibilities in view of all this I've shared. What should we now do? What's our responsibility to maximize what God will do in our lives when we come together? The first thing we must do, we must be planted in the house of God. Psalm 92, verse 13 to 14. Psalm 92, 13 to 14, we must be planted in the house of God. If you're going to get blessed, going to benefit from God's presence, from God's house, we have certain responsibilities. Number one, we must be planted in the house of God. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. We must be planted. I'm going to explain that, because it's important that we understand that. Look at what the Bible says. Okay, let's start from 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. So what is the house of the Lord? Church. That's church. 1 Timothy 3:15 explains that. So those that are planted in the church, the house of the Lord, shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. Number two, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Number three, they shall be fat. Fat? Okay. Okay, tell your friend you need to be fat. You're afraid of that. That's what the Bible says. They shall be fat. So if you are not fat, we should give you a query. Okay, I'm just joking. They shall be what? Where are we now? Okay, they shall be fat and flourishing. Then in verse 15. That's the end of the verse. Okay. So you must be planted. You must be planted. What does that mean to be planted? You must be rooted. Now, if you have a plant that is not rooted, the lifespan is very short. But a plant that is rooted, the lifespan is long. To get blessed from church, you must be planted in the church. Now, the church has, there's just only one church. We call it the universal church. There's only one church, the universal church. All of born again believers constitute the church. But there's what we call the local church. The local church is a church in a locality, an identifiable body of believers meeting in a place. So this is a local church. So you can't say, I belong to a universal church. You must also belong to a local church. Then you must not be planted in that local church. If you are planted, that means you have stability. Every plant has three components: the root, the trunk, and the fruit. The fruit is the visible, pleasurable part, but the root is what sustains the pleasurable part. So you must be planted in a church. You must be stable in a church. You must belong to a church. Rooted. Church is not a place we attend based on sentiments. Because my friends are there, therefore I'm there. I like the music. I like the preaching. No. Those are just what God will use to attract you. But you join a church based on commitment. What is commitment? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's called commitment. But this is for better, for stay, for worse, for go. So church is commitment. So look before you leap. Look before you leap. That's why we tell people it's okay to go around churches for five, six months for make up your mind. Take the snacks after service for first timers. It's okay. Do that for 6 months. Just go around all the churches for 6 months. And then when you get to a place, your mind just say, this is it. This is the place. Once you say this is the place, then be planted. Be planted. It's only those who are planted that can actually maximize the benefits of our gathering. Number two, responsibility. Once I've been planted, now you see, let me say this. You see, again, these days, there's what they call Christianity by convenience. I know it doesn't happen in America. America is God's own country. That's Christianity by convenience. If it is not convenient, I cannot make it. So there's, we now serve God by convenience. So I can't fast October 1, 2, 3 because it is not convenient. Convenience Christianity. Do you want to have a friend Who is your friend because of convenience? We call them fair weather friends. Do you want that kind of friend? You know your true friend when they stay with you by commitment. So we must serve God by commitment and not by convenience. So I might have some people leave churches, you know. It's okay to leave once in a while if legitimate reasons. But if you are staying in the church because of your friends are there, once they leave the church, you're going to leave the church also. If you're staying because the pastor preaches a good sermon, the day he decides to go on strike. No pastor's going on strike. He's just not into it that day. He's mixing up the scriptures, he's confused, and you're wondering what happened to the pastor today. He's on 3-week strike. Next Sunday, the same thing. Third Sunday, you say, wow, I'm out of this place. No, you stay because of commitment. Second responsibility is we must be contributors and not just a congregant. You know what a congregant means? This is congregation. So you have congregant. So not just a congregant, but you are a contributor. You're not just spectating, but you are participating. If you're going to get blessed from church, you must be participating, not just spectating. And what does that mean? Number one, it means you must be known to the pastor. That's the first step. Pastor, I'm a member of your church. The pastor must know you. That is, you must not just he knowing you, but you are accountable to him. You must be accountable to the pastor. You know, when we teach pastors, tell them the thing about, oh, should I say this or not say this now? Okay, that's it. I'll be here until next year, so. So the most difficult thing for a pastor is that we're teaching adults what children should know. We're teaching adults what children should know. Don't talk to your wife like that. You're talking to a man who has 6 children, who is 45. You're being rude. Don't be rude to your wife. Don't be rude to your husband. That's what children should learn. But we're teaching adults that. So, you must be accountable to the pastor. Very important. Because God honors accountability. That man said, I'm a man under authority. I said to this, come, and it comes, goes, and it goes. So just say the word, my servant shall be healed. There must be accountability to the pastor that God has put over our lives. That's why pastoring is a dangerous job. I should give you the scripture for that. Hebrews 13:17. Very dangerous job. Very, very dangerous job. Let me show you the scripture. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. That's Hebrews 13:17 now. Obey them that have the rule over you, that these pastors have rule over us, authority over us. As they that... Okay, are you there? Hebrews 13:17, almost. Okay. I want to quote it correctly. I don't want to paraphrase it. To show you that pastor's job is a very dangerous job. Look at it. Hebrews 13:17. Sorry, I have Nigerian accent. I'm sorry. It's okay. You know, I came to the US some few years ago, and I got to the airport, Newark Airport, and I gave them my passport, and they said, go to one room. When they say go to a room, you know you're in trouble. So I should go to one room, no problem. So I stood there for a while, and then they called me, and they asked me, do I have any relative in the U.S.? I said, yes, my brother is here. What is his birthday? I've forgotten. And they were embarrassed. How can you forget your brother's birthday? I said, I've forgotten. Okay, no problem. Now asked me to go, and I said, why did you stop me? So you have a British passport, but don't have a British accent. I'm telling you the honest truth. So those who have this kind of passport, they have an accent, but you don't have an accent. So I need to change my accent now. In the other day, my wife came, and she was in Atlanta airport. And then they stopped her too, and then she sat down. Then after a while, now she was reading a novel, Frank Peretti. Then they were calling, Charlotte, Charlotte, Charlotte. That's her middle name. She doesn't answer that name normally. So she didn't answer. Charlotte, she didn't answer. Then she just realized, oh, that's my name. Now, if you are the immigration officer, what comes to your mind? She's stolen the passport. How can they call you and you don't answer? Because it's not your name. So they now said, you know, harassed her. You know, I said, now realize, wow, with all the money I spent, I'm going back home. She now began to pray. They said, okay, go. So that's just by the side. Pastoring is a dangerous job. Obey and I rule over you. Submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch for your souls. The dangerous part, as they that must what? But he said, make the job easy for the pastor, because to make it easy for him, they will do their job with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So accountability. When the pastor says, sit down, I tell them, get me to trouble. Just obey me by getting me to trouble. Get me to trouble by obeying me. Simple. Because if I give you a wrong instruction, God will hold me accountable. So just get me into trouble. If I say, sit down, you don't believe in it, just sit down, I'll give account. So when pastor tells you something, prayer and fasting, October 1, 2, 3, get him into trouble. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't get him into trouble. But he must give account. So must be accountable. What does that mean? You can't have a project you're doing and your pastor doesn't know about it. You can't. He needs to know. Because a pastor's life revolves around the church members. The bulk of his prayers, he's studying the Bible, he wants to preach, revolves around the people. So you must be accountable to him. If you're going to get blessed from church, you must be accountable to the pastor. Very, very, very important. Okay, so looking at our responsibilities. The next thing we need to do to get blessed from church as we ought to is that we must prepare for church. It sounds simple, but it's profound. Most people don't prepare for church. How do you prepare for church? Number one, you prepare for church by praying before you come. You're praying for the choir, praying for the pastor, praying for yourself that they will not make any silly mistake. Because any mistake they make was going to affect you. So you're praying for the choir, praying for the pastor, praying for the workers that they will do things the way they ought to do it. That's preparation for church. I don't want to come to church and not be blessed. I don't want to come to church with a question, not with an answer. That takes, God will use people. So I need to pray for them that they will be vessels. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you're afraid sometimes to say some things. But if you pray for that pastor, he will say whether he's afraid or not afraid. You know, sometimes it's difficult to preach because you're looking at some faces and saying, if you're not careful, you're not experienced, your microphone will just drop. So pray. Tell a friend, pray for church. Number two, plan not to be late.
Hallelujah.
What did I say? It takes planning. It doesn't just happen. You plan not to be late. And thank God for GPS to tell you how long it's going to take you to travel. We tell you there's traffic, so you factor traffic into church. Why don't you come there to church? You know, because when we say church starts at 9, you know what has happened? God is here at 9. He's here at 9. waiting. So when you come late, you're keeping God waiting. Because he's always here at 9. If it's 10, he's here at 10. So if President Trump says he's going to be here at 10, oh, don't like Trump, okay. who do you like? Okay, who like Obama? Obama says, Nana is not the president, but when he was still president, I said, Obama says, I'm here at 10. And we have, what will you do? What time will you be here? Even there's what they call protocol. If Obama is going to be here at 10, you cannot come here at 10. All guests, if you go to a good party, a good occasion, they say, all guests must be seated at a certain time. So it is an honor for the president or the big man to come after everybody else is seated. When he now comes, what do? We all now stand. So plan not to be late. Okay. I'm going to say this one. I will not look up. Bring your Bible and writing materials. Just look straight. Don't fidget. So don't think I'm talking about you. Bring your what? Very important. Because church is a school. Very important. Now, I'm a very old-fashioned preacher. I have an iPad, but I can't preach from my iPad. I think I'm being very, very unspiritual. I'm very old-fashioned. So it's strange. My daughter makes noise. You bring the iPad, you bring the Bible, you bring your notes. Everything can be in just one. But I feel out of place doing that. And then when people are looking at their phone, my mind is wondering. My old school mind is thinking, are they sending a text? Are they writing an email? That's my old-fashioned mind thinking. But that guy is simply writing notes on his phone, reading the Bible on the phone. But my old-fashioned mind is thinking, you are talking rubbish. They're not listening. They are distracted. But at least write something down. Okay? Then, finally on that, prepare to be a blessing to somebody in church. Prepare. Simply saying hello to somebody can change somebody's life. Simply saying, how are you doing? Simply saying, can I pray for you or something? Or bringing a gift for somebody. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians 14:26. 1 Corinthians 14:26. We need to be a blessing to one another. We need one another. We are different. A person like me, I always tell people, I'm a certified boring person. I have a certificate to show for it. I'm very boring. When I'm on the pulpit, I can preach here for 2 hours. No, don't worry, I'll soon finish. But once I put the mic down, I don't know how to talk. I just say, hello, how are you? How's life? You're fine. That's all. Except we had the previous conversation. Okay, fine. Some of you have pending issues with you. Have you done your CD? I'm not looking at anybody. Have you preached your sermon? I'm not looking at anybody. They know themselves. So how many issues we talk about? Well, after that, I'm just a certified boring person. I'm not ashamed to be called a boring person. Very, very boring. Very boring. Certified. Yes. I have a certificate for that. So usually I don't talk and all that, but at least be a blessing to somebody. Amen? Okay. Number three, we're soon finished. Number three, responsibility. Help create a conducive atmosphere for the move of God. Help create a conducive atmosphere for the move of God. Because God wants to move in his church, and God is a God of order. So you must create an atmosphere for God to be free to move in his house. So you can't be a distraction. Your phone must be off or be on silent. No necessary movement, no side talk, except you don't understand what the pastor is saying because of Nigerian accent. Not coming late. You know, create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. Be courteous to people. Smile. Smile. Don't frown your face. The Bible says a wicked man hardened his face. It's in the Bible. A wicked man does what? Hardened his face. So when you frown and you squeeze your face, the Bible says that person is wicked. It's in the Bible. Smile. Tell a friend, smile. Smile. Then obey all instructions. Then be enthusiastic. Be cheerful. Number four, responsibility. Be a good ambassador of Christ and his church. It's easy to come to church and be angels. And then after 3 hours of church, become human beings again. Be a good ambassador of Christ and his church. We must have an above board lifestyle. Now, if you're the ambassador of Christ and his church, it also means you bring people to church. So we represent Christ, we represent his church, and then we say, well, you know, come to my church. Come and be blessed. In our church, God is always there. In our church, we see angels. No, not seeing angels in that sense. They may not understand. But in that church, you know, we're blessed. So you are his ambassador. Bring people to church. It's our responsibility. And then we're excellent in everything that we do. Number five, responsibility, consistency. Consistency. Philippians 1:5. Consistency. There can be no meaningful fellowship without consistency. Coming to church every time when we are supposed to. Doing what they're supposed to do every time. Look at the Philippian church. Philippians 1:5. Paul, talking to the Philippian church, made a profound statement. Philippians 1:5. Talking about their consistency in fellowship. Their consistency in fellowship. Philippians 1:5. Okay. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There must be consistency in what we are doing. Because God is in his house. Jacob said, sure that the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. So each time we come to church, there's God's presence. His manifest presence. His presence includes healing, deliverance, help, solution. Whatever we need is in the presence of God. He communicates to us. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you an idea. He wants to give you direction. He wants to tell you what to do. He wants to fellowship with you, communicate with you. It's a place of intense spiritual activity that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's a place where the earth and heaven is linked together. It's a place where when we come to church, we should not live the way we came. It's a place where we can be touched, we can be healed, we can get answers. A place where we can also meet God's heart to be glad by worship. Our worship is to God, not to ourselves. God enjoys our worship. When we worship him, we make his heart glad. We make him glad that he's in his house by our worship and by our giving. And our responsibilities, must be planted, must be stable, must be consistent. Do what they're supposed to do. Be accountable. Because God wants to bless us each time we come to church. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. I want us to make a commitment to have a right attitude to church. Don't make an emotional commitment. Make an intelligent commitment. Lord, I now recognize that you are always with us when we meet. A consciousness of his presence. Maybe you're here this morning and you are sick. There's a pain in your body. God is here this morning with his healing power. So I rebuke every pain. I rebuke every disease. I rebuke every infirmity. That symptom, I cross it to your roots. I command pain, leave your body now. I command sickness to go in the name of Jesus. The healing power of God invade your body now. And I command a healing and a cure right now. The pain, go. I command every part of your body, your tendons, your vein, your liver, your ovaries, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Maybe you are confused. You're wondering. You're just confused. This morning, I command your mind to be clear. In the name of Jesus, clarity of mind. I release into your mind now in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's somebody here this morning, you are torn between two options. The two options are good, but you don't know which one to take. The Lord will give you the right step to take. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Just worship the Lord this morning. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Make a commitment to honor him, to serve him, to love him, not by convenience, but by commitment. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Lord, we worship you. We exalt you. We give a praise. We give a praise. Lord, I will love you more. I will love you more. Help me to understand these things. Not just the words, but the spirit of a word. Help me, Lord. So we don't just come to church and it's like a waste of time. No. Help me that every time I come, I will encounter you. I will encounter you. Father, we're grateful this morning. Make us a people of understanding. People that understand what we're doing. People that will do things well. That will do church well. We'll not just come and do religion. We'll come. We'll worship you in spirit and in truth. We'll honor you. We'll reverence you. We'll obey you. Help us be a church that will stand out. A church that will glorify your name. That each time we come, let encounters be our testimonies, oh God. We're grateful this morning. We give a praise. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. Help us. We cannot do it in our own strength. It's by your strength and your help, Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us understand the sense. Let our faith be stirred up to see you every time in our situation. He says you will never leave nor forsake us. So we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. Help us to see you in our situation. For those who are here this morning who need help, they need desperate help. Lord, I ask for your intervention in their situations. You prove yourself faithful on their behalf. Let your name be glorified as you answer and help them out in the name of our Lord Jesus. For those who have had delay, they've had delays from all kinds of delays, ask for intervention, Lord. Let them break forth with singing because of your interventions. We're grateful this morning. We honor you and we bless you. Oh, blessed be your name, O God. We glory. Just worship the Lord. Just thank him this morning. The Lord is good, is good, is good. Lord, help me to obey you. Let me to understand impressions and perceptions you put in my heart. The grace to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We receive that grace this morning. To follow through with the ideas you give unto us, with the impressions, with the prophetic words, with the instructions we receive from the pulpit, and in our interactions with you. Help us to be obedient, to follow you diligently. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.